All right, welcome back, everyone, to After Hours, Let's Talk, the place where the world quiets down just enough for our truth to finally speak up. I'm your host, Shorty For Real, and tonight we're going somewhere deep, somewhere tender, somewhere familiar for many of us. This episode is called From Lost to Light, Finding Your Voice Again. So lost, whether it's a person, a relationship, a part of ourselves, or even a dream we thought would become reality, has a way of muting us. It stills our sound. It makes us whisper when we used to sing. But tonight, we're talking about what comes after that silence. How do you reclaim your voice? How do you rebuild your identity when life forces you to start over? And how do we move toward the light when your spirit feels dim? And joining us for this powerful conversation is someone who has walked this journey with depth, intention, and incredible honesty, Hillary Powers, a woman who has dedicated her life to guiding others through healing, reclaiming themselves, and rediscovering the courage to speak their truth again. So, you guys grab a seat, grab something to drink, and let's dive deep into our conversation tonight. But first, we're going to go into our What's On Your Mind tonight, and we have a submission from a listener, and they wrote, I used to be outspoken, creative, full of ideas, but after everything I've been through, I don't recognize myself anymore. I feel muted. How do I get back to the version of me who wasn't afraid to speak or be seen? And my input on that is simply, I've been there before, and it took me a while to understand and realize that the broken pieces of me and the parts of me that I didn't recognize anymore were just pieces that I needed to understand what was happening, what was going on, and why I felt that way, and find the strength that I needed to speak up, to be bold in the things that I do, and just have the strength to not be fearful of life and how it goes, because we all go through things and we all have things that we're dealing with, but it's those moments where we don't feel like we're strong enough to get through them, or that we're too weak to deal with things. And to find your inner strength, I think, is the best thing that you can do. And just realize what it is. Find the thing that is making you feel that way. Understand what it is that's causing these feelings. And then work on those things little by little. Hillary, if you'd like to give some advice.
Hi. Thank you so much for inviting me. You know, I was listening to you. And, you know, it's so funny when we hear other people share their story or their journey or truth or whatever you want to call it. We always get these vignettes of their life and how it compares to my life. You know, we're talking about finding that part of you and that brokenness. You know, we all have a different perception of what brokenness is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you're a kid, you think broken is thrown away. You think broken is like put on, you know, you go to the grocery store and it's like, here's the shelf for the stuff that's no good anymore.
Right.
And when I feel fractured or maybe something happens to me where it's out of the norm, I immediately go from I'm good, I'm okay to I'm a throwaway. And I don't know where I got that message myself, but, you know, I spent my life, you know, when you're a kid, everything's magical. Like you can say, let's go play, you know, let's go jump on like the tree and let's pretend we're pirates or whatever, cowboys and Indians, cops and robbers or whatever. You know, I go to this incredible imagination. Mm-hmm. And when something happened to me, my imagination goes to the scariest things and it freezes me. And I'm practicing a behavior of freezing. And when, you know, your question, your guest who asked that question is, what happens? I used to be so alive and I used to believe in myself. And then all of a sudden, I don't know who I am anymore. How do I get back to her? You know, when I was a kid, I was, you know, I had the greatest imagination. It took me probably an hour and a half to walk to school because I would stop at every house and I would pick flowers and I would pet the horses and see dogs and find cats and follow them. By the time I get to school, it's nap time. You know, back in the day, kindergarten, you take a nap and I go, why is everyone sleeping? You know, it took me an hour and a half to get to school. And, you know, for some reason, I thought I was bad because of that. So I shut that part of me, that wondrous side of like, my curiosity goes away. And in my curiosity and my imagination and my playful spirit, that's where I get my energy. But somewhere along the line, like, you know, there's fighting growing up, there's mothers and fathers fighting. And I start to go inside of myself and my imagination dies because I can't be in this wonder because I'm in fear all the time. Is mommy going to leave? Is daddy going to leave? Is daddy going to hit her? Is we going to have food today? And these are all the things I experience. You know, am I in trouble? I got to make mommy happy because she'll love me more, or I got to make daddy happy so he doesn't leave, you know? And all of a sudden, this childlike, not childish, this childlike spirit starts to darken because I'm no longer living in this fun imagination. I'm living outside of myself, trying to make everything safe so I can go back inside.
Right.
When I can't control, manage, and direct my safety, like I'm 6 and 7 and there's fighting and there's screaming and I'm trying to make everything okay, that I don't feel safe going back to Hillary because I got to make sure you're okay, you know? And I live in this absolute fear. You know, in the last 10 years, I've practiced, and that's something I have to keep doing on a daily basis, is stabilizing myself so I can get back to the little spirit. Like if I think of what are the things that Hillary loves, like I'm not talking about shopping or none of that stuff, not snug, like what are like the sense stuff that I love? I love the sound of children playing in the playground. That like brings so much life to me. I love the sound of dogs barking and playing. I love the sound of the ocean. I love listening to birds. You know, I love listening to kids laugh. That brings my, that reminds, puts back in my mind, my childhood, that childlike spirit. Right. You know, what do I like to smell? I love the smell of like coffee. I like the taste of whipped cream, like little the kid things, you know? I remember as a kid, I used to, when I would get scared, I would sit by the window when it was cold so I can feel the sun on me and I could warm up. I felt safe. When I'm in that space of feeling safe, then I can get back into my creativity and my playfulness. I can't even get there if I don't stabilize myself. So my job as an adult, I need to caretake that little girl inside of me that's scared. And, you know, people say, well, you need to reparent yourself. Well, what if you had some shit parents? What's my idea? I'm like, reparent? Oh, hell no. I'm going to be pulled by the hair and beaten crap out of me. You know, I can cuss on this. So my mom used to beat the shit out of me. I don't want to think of it. But then someone said to me, what if you had like the best foster mom? Which I had one time. She was really great. And I remember her always saying, what do you feel like doing today? And I would cower up like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble if I say anything. And she would say, you want to go for a walk? And I thought about how loving and kind she was. Mm-hmm. So I act as if I'm that foster mama, that fake mom, that, you know, that aunt that just goes, come here, honey, give me a hug.
Right.
And when I get back to that calming side, all of a sudden, I start thinking of some creative things. because that's what I'm starving for, that little childlike spirit that anything is possible. Of right. course I can. Of course I can get a new job. Of course, because when you're a kid, you're like, we're going to go. Of course, why not go to Disneyland today, Mom? Why not? You're like, we
can, right. can do anything.
I can't afford it. I got 7 kids, you know. But when you're a kid, anything's possible. And that's where I can create in that space of anything's possible. And I have the power to get back there by stabilizing myself. That's where I get to be control of my life again. Because when stuff's going on the outside and you got your bills and you got the traffic, and like, I can't control all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And when you're used to being, you know, we bring our, I always say I lead with my wound. So my original wound is I'm always ready for Freddy. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I'm ready. You know, I'm ready for a fight, or I got to keep guarded. And when I live in that state and I grow up and I bring that into my adulthood, and someone says at work, I want you to put that together. And it's like, what are you talking about? I'm already in an aggro state because I think I have to go out there to get it. But the key is to calm down and go in here, because everything is inside of me.
Absolutely. That is true. Well, I want to welcome you on to After Hours officially. So right before we jump into our actual conversation here, if you don't mind just letting the listeners know who you are and a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Hi, you guys. Hi. So my name is Hillary Momberger Powers, and in the outside world, I'm known for, when I was a kid, I was 5 years old, and just by happenstance and luck, my mother was very adamant about making us famous and making money, because she was all about the outside, and I became the voice of Sally and Charlie Brown Peanuts. So if you listen to the Thanksgiving special, that was me at 5. I'm not 5 anymore. and so I grew up at, it seemed like on the outside, a very charmed life, because I was on television, I did a bunch of commercials, and I spent my life playing a part, meaning I had to be the good little girl, I had to support my family, I had to act a certain way, otherwise I wouldn't receive love. So I spent my life living outside, trying to get you to love me. And I did it in various ways. And once I found out that the ego is never satisfied, as I used to say about my mom, because no matter how much money I made and how much I did, she was never happy. And, you know, I remember she used to wake up in the morning hungover, which a lot of listeners' families do. And I remember going into the kitchen and getting her Folgers coffee with a little milk and a little sugar, hoping that mom would be nice today and happy today. And so I woke up trying to please everybody in my life to be okay so I could go back to being okay. So I spent my life living on the outside. And so I did a bunch of commercials. I had your typical alcoholic family, which is like the normal family today. You know, mom and dad broke up, they got divorced, there was not enough food, there was not enough, I'm not enough, you know, and I kept judging my outsides by my insides. So when I saw our life falling apart, it was because I wasn't good enough. And if I only produced more, if I was a good little girl. So I bring that original wound into every single situation of my life. So by the time I was 14 years old and I stopped doing commercials, and my mother said to me, you're now just another mouth to feed. I no longer need you. And, you know, beat me up, and I hit her back, and she sent me to juvenile hall, and I went to a foster home. Basically, the message was, I'm no longer worthy of love. And I, you know, went to a foster home, and that was a very inappropriate situation where that daddy wanted to do this girl. And I was like, good girl, turn bad. I go into the survival mode, you know. In trauma, we either become three characters: the people pleaser, which I did so long, the controller, which we call that the bully, or the one that's got to have everything their way, or they don't want to be your friend, or the loner, the one that sits in a book or sits on his phone and just checks out, doesn't want to talk. How you doing? Great. Fine. You know, the kid with only a couple words. And it's not that we're doing that because that's our character. That becomes our survival skill. Right. Because when you're in trauma, you're like, it's all about win or lose, live or die. Am I going to make it? I'm not living. So when you're out there surviving like a dinosaur, let's say the reptilian brains, like Tyrannosaurus Rex, it's not going, I think I'm going to go stare at the clouds, or, you know, pick flowers. It's like, I got to live today. What do I do to survive? So I'm bouncing back from being a people pleaser to a loner when I start doing drugs, to a controller. I got to have everything right. I got to have the right guy, the right house, the right job, the right. And none of it is solidifying because I've already abandoned Hillary.
Right.
Because I'm living in this state of trauma, of terror. And if you said to me, is everything okay? Are you scared today? No, I'm okay. I got this. I don't need it. I don't need anybody. I'm good. Because I got this mask on. So now I'm no longer the actor with the mask. Now I'm the trauma girl with the mask. No one's going to penetrate me because it's so painful to let you in. Because if you found out who I am, who I think I am, you're going to throw me away. But the controller kicks in and says, I'm going to get rid of you first. So I discard relationships. I discard jobs. And I keep wondering, what's wrong with me? Because I can't stop myself. I don't know. I'm living like I've got the steamship running behind me. Big ball just ready to run me over. I think I'm living. I'm hustling. Got to go in a hurry. I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know, but I got to get there. I got to go to school. And I can't even calm down because I think if I slow down, oh man, I'll be eaten up alive. And so I take that into my drug addiction until I just crash and burn. You know what? I talk about doing drugs at 14 and 15, like I've done them all, every single, you name it, I've done it. You know, I got to the point, leave the foster home. I'm living in North Long Beach, Compton, in a warehouse because I have nowhere to go. I drop out of high school. I'm selling pots and pans from the side of the highway. You know, I'm selling dope. I'm dipping sherms for a living. And I say, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm living the dream. This is it. It's my life. So I'm justifying all my trauma, I'm in a constant state of hustling. Inside, I'm that way because I'm so fractured. You know, when we talk about that fractured side, that broken side, today, it's my kaleidoscope. God, there's so many incredible colors to me. You know, so I end up overdosing and having that aha moment where I said, if there's a God, please help me. Boom. You know, I stopped. Grandma's seizures stopped. Now, I'd love to say, and then all of a sudden I became from right all the way to calm. And, you know, we hear those stories. And then I found God and my life became wonderful. Hell no. That's when it got real. Because I was no longer in that state of perpetual because I had that one moment of grace. That one moment when you go, I'm okay. And then I got hungry to feel that I'm okay. And I ended up getting sober, cleaning my life up. And it has been such an incredibly slow journey uphill. You know, I talk about having a soup, you know, you want to make a soup. You don't just throw the chicken and the garlic and the vegetables, little stuff and serve it to somebody. You like die of salmonella, you know, you got to slow cook it. And you got to add things in slowly. And, you know, we live in a world where everything is in such a hurry. I want to get better right now. Right now. You know, I know how to do it. I'm going to get rid of them. That's trauma response. I'm going to cut them out. I'm no longer talking to him. He's dead to me. No, he's not. She's dead to me, or they're dead to me. That's my reptilian brain going, live or die. I got to get out of here. And over the years, I've learned through a lot of pain, I've made some stupid ass decisions. Dumb. I mean, but I got to tell you, I wouldn't change one idiot decision I've made, because it's really helped me help other people slow down, simmer down, let the soup boil slowly. And so how I do that is I calm myself down. When I was talking about tending to your senses, that's the only control I have. I can't control you. I can't control the world. I can't control, you know, the interest rate, or I can't get a job, or man, I need a new car. I can't control any of that. I can only start from the inside. And happiness, happiness is great. How long does it last? 5 minutes. Go shopping, right? Go get your favorite bag or your favorite whatever. How long does that work for? 2 minutes. I'm starving, boy. And that only comes from in here, from me and God. And that's it. So absolutely. It's been an awesome, very fucked up journey at times. Oops, I said that word. Oops, but you said I could, right? Late night.
You're good.
So yeah, my husband number four. Whatever. I always joke around and say, "Don't you turn your cars in every 10 years?" Hello. No, just kidding. But you know. Because I've changed, I've grown, and I've made friends with all the people that I've parted with because they were perfect for me then. You know, I'm no longer judging myself for my outsides. I'm going inside and thinking to myself, how can I be a better human being? How can I be a better woman? How can I add something to the world instead of waiting for you to give me? What do you got for me? What do you got?
Right. That's true. I think we all go through that. I think I can speak to just finding what it is that you're looking for and want, what it is that you're missing. Like, because for me, it was like, I needed peace. I grew up with a lot of chaos and a lot of things going on in my world as a child and growing up. And it's like, the moment that I experienced peace, I wanted to hold on to that. And so now I have to work on how do I maintain that peace, because I want to keep that. So these are things that I have to change. And these are things that I got to work on to keep that peace in my life, because I've been craving that. And I didn't really realize that that's what I was craving. So it is doing a lot of deep diving into who you are from the inside and what it is that you need and what it is that you want and what it is that you're craving. What is it that you absolutely just, you've been missing out on that you need in your life? And like Hillary explained, for her, it was that joy. She needed that joy in her life. For me, it's peace. I need peace because I grew up, you know, I took care of my siblings a lot. My mom was in relationships where they were abusive and things like that. So I grew up in a constant fear and unpeaceful situations all the time. So being able to find peace and be like, you know what, now I can start changing, because I've constantly been bringing unpeaceful people into my world. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been used to, because I'm on
the outside trying to get fixed on the outside. It's like no.
Right.
I always say your inside life has to be the most important life. That's my living. Outside of me is my living. This is my life. Like you said, it's like I gotta guard this. I gotta protect. Like you protect a little baby, because it is precious.
Yes.
It's so precious. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And once you find it, you're like, you know what? What can I, you know, it is like that aha moment, like, oh my God. And it's not like, you know, I come to God and like, I'm just holier than thou and the angels rain down and everything's perfect.
It'd be boring that I wouldn't want. It's a funny thing. I was always saying, they go, when did you find God? I said, I'm still looking for him. Cause once I find him, I'm done. I got to keep searching. They always say, search, keep your search going. Don't get your find, get your search on. Mm-hmm. Keep this. Because when I'm searching, I'm still hungry. I'm still hungry. I'm thirsty for that peace, that joy, that tranquility, that self-acceptance. God, did I hate myself. I judged. And I get where you're at, that I got to keep it all together. I'm in charge. I've got it large and in charge. Man, I have three younger brothers and I was like handpicking because I thought I had to be the mom. My mom was a drunk, died homeless drunk, 61 years old, you know, same age as me, like basically. And I think to myself, man, that poor woman was tortured by her own mind, her own insecurities. And I was trying to make everything okay to make her okay.
Right.
When everything will be okay. You know, just that insanity of living outside of myself, trying to make myself feel good on the inside. That's where my funnel is totally whacked out, man. I got my perception wrong. It is such an inside job.
It is.
You know, and it's easier to fix someone else, I think, than to fix myself. No way, babe. I already know what's going on. You know, and deep inside of you. It's being okay to look in the mirror and say, you know what? It's okay. I got stuff to work on. You know, my mother, when you talked about your mom, there's this, all that stuff. We have the same past. When I had to make amends to my mother, and I hated my mom so much for everything that she put us through and, you know, stealing money from me and putting me on the streets, basically at a young age. And I spent my life in anger because that was my number one energy. It was the one that would get me through it. I was mad. I was going to use that as a force. And little did I know I was destroying myself. So when I made a decision I needed to get rid of this because I couldn't make a living. I couldn't keep a job. Because I was so pissed. I was always mad. And I was always the perpetuating victim. When I lose a job, it's because him or her. It's because of my mom. It's because of where I grew up. It's because I was broke. Because I kept finding an excuse to not be alive. You know, right. I kept that excuse. And then I had to write down all the things my mother had done to me, right? So I could justify my, it's because, you know, well, you grew up where I grew up. It's like, you know, born. Because I'm not getting anywhere. The more I start beating the drum of where I was from, I'm going to keep creating the same life. You know, if you keep driving in the rearview mirror, you're going to go to the same place, rearview mirror. And so my mentor at the time said to me, okay, I want you to write down all the stuff that your mom did to you. And I go, oh, well, I've got a list. Because poor Hillary, you know, I'm the victim, oh victim, here I am, right? Let me adjust my terror victim hat. And she said to me, now I want you to write what you did in retaliation. So my mom wouldn't take me to the doctor when I broke my arm. So when we got in a fight and I broke her arm, she used to say to me, you're too expensive. You're another mouth to feed. We can't afford you. It'll heal on its own. So when I broke her arm, what do you think I said? You're too expensive. We can't go to. It'll heal on your own. So was it her fault that I became this character? It was my fault. I chose to be this woman. So every time something happened to me, my retaliation was a mirror of who they were. So once I started, wow. I'm no different than my mom. I just act out differently. Where did she get her hurt? Nobody hurt her to hurt. She hurt me. I hurt her back. And then I hurt everybody in my path. I keep them away. I don't let them love me. I punish them. I don't trust them. They're all liars. Now, am I really thinking that about these people? No, I'm judging my path on my future. And so once I started looking at, I was no different than my mom, I gained that wonderful little hook in the chain called empathy. Now I'm feeling for my mom. Man, she must have went. And then I started asking questions. My mother was molested by her father. She and her mother hated each other. She was tortured and basically became an alcoholic. I mean, when you're a drug addict and alcoholic, man, it's not a fun life. It is a torturous life. So now I start identifying. Now I no longer hate her. I have empathy. It doesn't mean I'm going to go Captain Save-A-Ho and go rescue her, which I've done many a time, right? But what I can do is I can step back and see her as a human being and not as a monster and not right. as so screwed up. All of a sudden, my judgment stops and I go, wow. Okay, now that we are both where we're at, now what can I do to soothe myself? Because I can't go back to mom. Ain't never going to happen. I can't go back to my past to create a new future. It's not going to happen. I can only start right now. And that part when you talked about creating a place in here, not out here, to feel peace, to feel that safety. Only then, when I calm myself down, can I create a new paradigm, a new experience. I can't create it from the past energy. I can't right. make, if I have black paint, I can't put green paint. It's always going to be, you see what I mean? I got to clean it up and start with a new palette. And how I do that is simmer down, Turbo. I start there and I take little stuff like, I got to take a breath. And when, when someone's agitated and pissing you off, I say things, you know what? Can I get back to you when you're not so angry and I can think about this? Can we pause for a moment? Otherwise, I'm back into ready for Freddy. I'm going to fight them and see who's stronger, who's got smarter mouth, and who can outwit and who can outback and bash. And I just give myself that moment to, man, in that silence, in that pause is where that power of God can come in. And with God, all things are possible. Whatever you believe in, all things are possible with God. I'm so limited. I'm driving in my rearview mirror, trying to get somewhere else. I'm crashing constantly.
Right.
So I get the pausing effect. It's like taking the moment to, okay, let's stop for a moment. And all of a sudden I have a different perspective. All of a sudden I'm like, wow, you know what? I don't think they're good for me. I don't know. I'm not going to hang out with them today. You know what? They weren't, they cheated on me or they lied to me. Man, that doesn't feel good. I'm going to sit this one out. Man, just that moment of pausing, you could have a whole new experience.
Right. You can. You definitely have to take that moment. I like to take those moments, step back. You know what? I'm going to just take a beat. We'll come back to it. You know, I need some alone time right now. So I can get my mind together, but we definitely have to do that for ourselves. You know, we lose ourselves in the cycle of abuse. And I think that, or the trauma that we experience. So we reenact, and I think a lot of people don't realize that we're reenacting the things that we grew up with, that we were used to, the things that happened to us. We give that back as we grow up in the world and become adults. And we're just like, I don't, this is just how I am. But it's like, no, it's not. Like you have something in there that you're missing for yourself. And you use these things as coping mechanisms, and they weren't healthy for you at all, So we have to find better coping mechanisms and understand that we're recycling the trauma. Even that, like when you said, you you gave back what your mom dished out. So that was your reaction. So you gave it back to her. And I don't think we all realize I think we all do that. Like, it's like, you're going to do this to me. I'm going to do it right back. So how does it feel now? You don't like it, do you? Didn't feel too good.
Stronger. Like you said, we relive our past. It's like we pick that. Here we are. We're growing up in a family where there's yelling and screaming. So we go out and we find somebody of that likeness because it's familiar, family. Then we go get it and we say, yeah, but this time it's going to be different.
Right.
And I'm not really trying to make it different today. I'm trying to go back and fix my past. That's where I'm driving in the rearview mirror.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, acts, it's a duck. You're going to have repeat, recycle, respin, repeat, recycle, respin, you know, and then you're exhausted and you're like, oh my God, I'm sick all the time. My back hurts. I pulled my back out. I gained 30 pounds. It's like, that's not from today. That's from you not even looking at your past and saying, you know what? When I made friends with myself for not being a parent at 6 and 7 years old and trying to figure, I couldn't figure it out. I had this little girl mind that I just wanted to go live in imagination and play and be happy. And I stuffed that kid down so deep, you know. When I get stressed out now, I literally will just go outside and I'll feel the wind in my face and go, oh my God, this feels so good. Like, God, this sun feels so good. Thank you for the sun. I recognize what I have right here, right now.
Right.
When I do that, I feel grounded because I'm right here, right now. And when I'm in that trauma drama, I call it the trauma mama drama, constantly, I'm not stabilized. I just pause. Okay, let's start. I'm going to start right here. Right now, where am I? I can feel the wind. I can feel the sun. I can smell. I can see. I can taste. I can hear. I'm good. Now I can make a different decision because I've everything.
Right. Yep. And I think that's all we need to do. You know, we have to step back and identify that that's what we're doing to ourselves. We're ultimately hurting ourselves every single time we do this to ourselves because we are trying to heal and fix something that we can't go back. We can't fix it. And we're trying to live up to something because I want you to love me because I didn't feel loved. But we have to step outside of all of those things and what is it that I'm doing right now? Where am I right now? How do I feel? And what do I need right now in this moment? And I like to, you know, with the listeners out there, you guys, we have been stuck in such unhealthy coping mechanisms and just negative thinking processes and always the get back, or sink into yourself and go into a shell and distance ourselves from the world. And I used to be that kid. Like I was very quiet. I didn't really talk to people a lot. I read a lot of books. I didn't want to do too much.
You took the loner out. I took the people. Or you see the bully who bullies people. There it is. And then they grow up and they become the big bully.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I was the loner and then I became the people pleaser because I felt like I had to take care of everything.
Right.
I had to take care of everything. I had to be strong. I couldn't show any weakness. I had to be there and be present right now because I'm who everybody's depending on right now. So I have to be here. And I had a hard time saying no to people or, you know, doing things for people and exhausting myself because I didn't want to let anybody down or for people to feel upset with me or anything like that. But I had to learn that it's okay. Like, because I'm wearing myself out and it's exhausting and I can't keep doing this. I would go to every night. I would be up and like, why is this happening? Why do I keep doing this to myself? Like, I know better, but I keep doing it. But you have to address the trauma within yourself and realize, you know, this is something that I never dealt with. This is something that I need to heal from in order to move forward. So you guys, please take the time out to really dig deep inside and figure out what is it that you were missing and what you need right now to make your life feel like you can breathe again. So that's what I like. I can breathe again. I can take a deep breath and I can relax and go, you know what? It's okay. I can do all of this stuff tomorrow. I don't have to show up all the time. I can just relax and let life be what it is. So,
and give yourself what you want. Like, give yourself a hug. That sounds so stupid, but it's like, you're doing a good job. It's okay. We're going to get through this. Like that self-love. And I'm not saying shopping and buying a million things. That is not self-love. I'm talking about, what are the words that you never heard? You're a good girl. I love you. You know what? It's okay, honey. It's okay. So you spilt the milk. Oh, it's broken. It's just a glass. It's okay. When I break things occasionally, just like we all do. And I remember getting slapped and hit. It was like, I was always afraid I was going to be in trouble. And I do things now. And the first thing I say is, I go, oopsie daisy. It's okay, honey. It's not just a glass. Like, that's the self-soothing. That's the love that I'm so hungry for. I'm so hungry for. But I can't get it from them. I got to get it from me. It's my life. This is my journey. This is my world. Meaning, I got to start from the inside out, not the outside in. I got to soothe internally, not get soothed. Because like I said, happiness lasts for 4 minutes. You know, go shopping on Amazon. There you go. How long that lasts, hon? Like 2 seconds. But when I do things like, you know what? I did good. You know what? I showed up to work and I got this job. I'm so proud of you. And like, I showed up today and I didn't want to. Oh, honey, you didn't have to live in your feelings. You took care of yourself. You did good. Like, little, you know, I don't advertise it and sit in public and do it. That's how they lock you up. But I do take that quiet time alone where I'm like, and I say things like, you know what? You're a good woman. You really are a good woman. And then I thank my mother for the torturous things she gave me. And the things she denied me and the pain she gave me. Cause I look at my life and I go, wow, look what I've done. What I'm really proud of you. You didn't give up. You're such a good girl. And then all of a sudden I stand taller.
Right.
Like, I grow because I'm growing from the inside, not the outside. Right. As much as I can say is like, it is an inside job. And it's not, when you say you got to look at your trauma, girl, it's not like you have to go find new trauma. So you don't have to, when people say, I don't want to look at it. I'm like, it's already in you. It's not something new.
Right.
It's already in you, girl. When I go, I don't got to write all this stuff I've done. I don't want to look at it. You already are looking at it. You keep stuffing it. It takes a lot of energy. You're staring at it and go, whoop, here it comes again. It's like, let it expose it. You know, like when you expose a virus, it dies. It's your virus. Expose that shit. Let it come up. Okay, it happened. Oh, well, what are you going to do about it now? Who are you going to be now? Like, you can create. And then you have that pause where you can start imagining, God, wouldn't it be cool if I move? It's kind of nice if I lived here. Maybe if I met somebody. Maybe what would it be like to go back to school? Wow, that would be great. Then all of a sudden your imagination starts percolating. And then the universe goes, someone shows up and says, hey, yeah, you know, I'm living down the street. I need a roommate. You do? You know, it's like, whoa, my life opens up. Like, how'd that happen? I got out of the way and I paused and I let God come in and do his work.
Right. When you're healing from the inside out and you're letting it, you're working on yourself, you're showing yourself self-love, you guys, and caring about yourself, you have to show up for you before others can show up for you. So if you're not, you the biggest lesson I learned in life is that you teach people how to treat you.
Absolutely.
So if you're not treating you,
you bring in what you are.
Yep. You bring in what you are. So if you're not treating yourself good and you're not showing people how to treat you, then they're going to treat you however they want to treat you. So treat yourself good. Make sure that you're giving yourself those positive affirmations, letting yourself know, like she said, that you're doing good. You know, you did such a good job. You did an amazing job today. Even if it's the littlest things, taking it step by step, one day at a time is all you can do, because we live one day at a time. So tomorrow is not promised. So work on what it is today and be happy with yourself today. And know that you're doing great. You're better than you were yesterday, 5 minutes ago, whatever the case may be. You are progressing and you are showing up for you, because you are the only person that can show up for you. And regardless of how much you want others to do that for you, you can't make them. You can't expect them to. They're going to do what they want.
Right, just give it up. Get off the wood. Get off the cross. We need the wood.
Absolutely. Okay, you guys, so we are going to go into our quote of the night. And this quote tonight, it states, "Sometimes the voice you find after loss is the one that was waiting to speak your truth all along." So you guys, let that sit with you, write it down, take it with you. You know, we always feel like we lose our voices. We always feel like there's something that we can't do. But in the end of the day, once you find your strength and your courage to step out of your pain and your hurt, then that's when you can actually speak your truth, honestly. That's when your truth and your true self comes out, because now you can be who you were supposed to be and who you want to be. Because when you're not doing that, you are living in a costume. You're being someone you're not. You're hiding who you are to make pretty for the rest of the world, or to please someone else, or to make others feel comfortable with you, and you're not comfortable with you. So, did you have any final thoughts for me tonight?
I was thinking about, you know, if you're in a state where you feel like you're stuck, you're not stuck. Your soup is cooking. So there's, you know, when you get into that calming state, like I said, pause, ask God that, show me the way. And all of a sudden, because you've opened up your heart, you're going to reflect that on the outside. And you're going to see a lot of stuff on the outside reflecting that heart mind that you put out there. So just pause, ask the next indicated step, and watch your world open up. It's magic. It really can happen like that.
Absolutely. So we want to thank you, Hillary, for joining us tonight. It has been an absolute pleasure. And now I can put a face to Miss Sally Brown when I watch Charlie Brown.
Oh, okay.
And I can be like, hey, you know, I know her. And to all my listeners out there, your voice isn't gone. It's healing, and healing takes time, gentleness, and courage. So when you're ready, it will return stronger, clearer, and more authentically yours. So you guys, take a deep breath, breathe, relax, and let it go. And as always, you guys, remember, the night, it always has something to say. So until next time, we'll see you later.